today on More to Life, when love is hard. In a difficult relationship, let us help you discover grace-filled ways to respond when you care about somebody who's hard to love. 877-573-7825. All of us want a great and grace-filled marriage, family, personal life. St. John Paul's Theology of the Body gives us a blueprint for making that happen.
More to Life. Happy couples find little ways to say I do every day.
Faithful insights. Effective tools.
Raising godly kids requires more than stopping bad behavior.
That's right. It means finding ways to make our faith the source of the warmth in our homes.
Practical. Theology of the Body-based answers for every part of your life.
God gave us our feelings. We don't have to be afraid of them.
And we just have to make sure that the first thing we do is ask Him how He wants us to deal with them.
The life you were meant to live through the theology of the body. More to Life.
Good morning, everyone. You are listening to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
I'm Lisa Popchak.
And today on More to Life, when love is hard. We're talking about both difficult relationships and those times when we care about somebody who's hard to love for whatever reason. Call up and share. Are you in a difficult relationship with somebody? Maybe you're dealing with conflict or tension in the relationship. Maybe that other person is treating you in a way that you find hurtful or offensive, disrespectful. Maybe your attempts to heal the relationship aren't bearing fruit or are even blowing up in your face. Let us help you find grace-filled ways to heal those difficult relationships and deal with those people that you're finding a little hard to love these days. 877-573-7825.
And, you know, let's not quibble over words here. Yes, you love them in that greater sense of the word. You just don't want to be around them. They irritate you. Your shoulders go up around your ears when you have to deal with them. They make it hard to be your best self, whatever that is. You know, don't stay there and listen to us right now and go, but I love them, it's fine. And you're struggling because we're not called to just be apathetic in our relationships. I love them, it's fine. If it's not fine, we're called to bring it to God and ask Him what we can do to help us both be our best selves. If God puts somebody in your life, we owe it to Him to discern what He wants us to do about it. And it could be a myriad of things. We can't assume we know what God wants us to do. We actually have to talk to Him about it, come up with a plan, get the support we need, if any. And if that seems like a big struggle for you today, or even something you just don't want to think about, well then pick up the phone. Let's talk about it and get you in a place where you're working with God's grace in that relationship, for that person's good, and for your own greatest good. Let's help you out today on More to Life. Give us a call at 877-573-7825. That's 877-573-7825.
And once again, call up and share. Are you in a difficult relationship with somebody? Or do you care about somebody that you're finding a little hard to love these days? You know, whether you're dealing with conflict or tension in the relationship, or that other person is treating you in a way that really kind of hurts your feelings or makes you feel defensive, you know, maybe. Maybe your attempts to heal the relationship just aren't working out or are making things worse. Whatever the situation is, we want to help you find grace-filled ways to heal those difficult relationships and deal gracefully with those hard-to-love people. Again, 877-573-7825. Every day on More to Life, we take a look at the topic of the day through the lens of St. John Paul's Theology of the Body. And you might be saying, well, you know, how could some theology help me deal with difficult people or difficult relationships? Glad you asked. So, St. John Paul, when he was Pope, reflected on a really big question. Basically, he said, you know, if we looked at everything God's given us, creation, scripture, salvation, history, what universal principles could we discern about God's plan for human flourishing and healthy, holy relationships? And his answer to that question became what we call the theology of the body.
And the theology of the body reminds us that when we're in a difficult relationship, we need to avoid falling into one of two typical traps. First is letting the other person bring out the worst in us. I am mostly guilty of that. Or avoiding saying what needs to be said because we don't want to upset them.
Right. I mean, those are really twin traps, right?
They are.
So instead of attacking or retreating, the theology of the body reminds us that we're called to be loving. And that means doing our best to help others be their best, and also working to make all of our relationships healthier and holier.
When we're dealing with a difficult person, our prayer needs to be, what response, Lord, can I make right now that will help me be my best self, challenge the other person to be healthier and holier, and work toward building a healthier, holier relationship? That's a much clearer and goal-focused way to approach it all, asking how, other than asking, how can I just keep the peace? Because that kind of relationship isn't real peace.
Right. Well, and reflecting on that goal is a whole lot more freeing, too.
Yeah.
Because the theology of the body reminds us that God is a communion of persons, right? Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And you might say, well, but so what? Well, we're made in God's image, and that means that we're also called to that kind of intimate communion. It means that the most important thing I can do to build God's kingdom is work to heal the damage that sin does, or at least is trying to do, to my relationships.
When we approach conflict that way, we realize that our job isn't to control the outcome. We can't make someone walk through the door to a healthier relationship, but we can stand in the doorway, prayerfully inviting them in through our words, our actions, and boundaries that are rooted in our attempts to live God's call to love.
And sometimes that might upset the other person, but that's okay. You know, as long as our intention is to glorify God and act in love and act for the good of the relationship, I can have peace even when there's blowback. You know, it's like Jesus said, blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. So instead of allowing the other person to bring out the worst in us or just tiptoeing around that person, I can ask myself, and I can ask God, more importantly, you know, how can I respond to this relationship in general and this moment in particular in a way that tries to bring out the best in me, challenges the other person to be their best, and tries to make this relationship as healthy and holy as possible. Okay, so that helps us, I think, redefine our focus, but now we still have the question of what does that look like in that particular relationship with that particularly difficult person that you have to deal with. Well, that's what the show is on today. So give us a call at 877-573-7825. Let's talk about those times when love is hard. 877-573-7825. Let's take our concerns to the Lord, and then we'll start taking your calls. In the name of the Father,
the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Lord Jesus Christ, we come to you and we thank you for all the people that you've placed in our lives, even the difficult to love people. But Lord, we ask you for the courage and the grace that we need to avoid those two temptations, to either allow those people and relationships to bring out the worst in us, or allow those relationships to make us avoidant of conflict and tiptoeing around the other person for fear of agitating them. Instead, we ask you to help us to have the grace to fulfill that prophetic mission that we all receive in baptism, to call others through our words and actions to lead holier, healthier lives. Help us in all things to ask you to lead us and guide us on how to respond to all those difficult relationships and difficult moments in our relationships in a manner that allows us to be our best selves, to challenge the other person charitably to be their best selves too, and ultimately work for the good of the relationship. Help us to make that our focus so that we can be building your kingdom, especially in the relationships that we find difficult to deal with and the people that we find difficult to love. We ask all this through the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary. And in the name of
the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Pope St. John Paul the Great,
pray for us.
Today on More to Life, the show is titled When Love is Hard, and we're talking about both difficult relationships and also loving difficult people. And then you might say, well, they're related, and of course they are. Mm-hmm. But you know, sometimes you know, it's not that the person is so much a bad person or a difficult person. It's just that for some reason the dynamic is tough between us. You know, we kind of rub each other the wrong way, even though we realize we're both good people. And then other times, it really is somebody who just has some traits that make them hard to love. Either way, how do we respond to those challenging relationships in ways that actually work? Give us a call at 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with Kathleen, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Texas on Guadalupe Radio Network.
Hi, Kathleen. Welcome to More to Life.
Thank you very much. Thanks for taking my call.
Mm-hmm. What's going on?
So I have a very good friend who is my daughter's godmother, and for the last 20 years, we've argued politics.
For and, 20 years?
Yeah.
Okay.
We're getting nowhere with her. And so last election cycle, I told her, you know, if you want to talk politics, we're going to talk religion first. She calls herself a Catholic, but she believes very little about the Catholic faith. Mm-hmm. And so I told her I thought she had a bad relationship with the church because she had a very bad relationship with her father, and I felt like that was affecting what she accepted from the church. And she, of course, denied it, but backed off a little bit talking politics. But lately with the Charlie Kirk death, and it's kind of started up again. And, after that long, do you pursue anything, or do you just say, I give up?
When you say I give up, do you mean give up the friendship or give up talking about these kinds of things? What do you mean?
Yeah, kind of back off of the friendship or, do I set boundaries or do I just say I've tried everything I can? And
Well, talk to me about is there any relationship beyond politics as far as she's, I mean, are you able to have a relationship that's actually supportive or edifying in some way or no?
Yeah. You know, we can talk about superficial things and, and that's fine. But it always seems like we're avoiding what she or I really want to talk about,
mm-hmm.
because my
I'm really trying to get at is, I mean, you can talk about superficial things with anybody. You know, I'm trying to figure out, is there a reason to keep this person in your life? Beyond just, this issue. Like, for example, if we were talking about a family member, for instance, that you saw on a regular basis, or there was this friend who, you didn't agree on politics, but they were really, really helpful in other ways, or you really felt, supported by them in other ways. Do you have is there anything else to this relationship other than just talking about politics?
Well, I guess there used to be a lot more, but I moved away about, several years ago, and so we see each other a lot less. And so, mm-hmm. But we've got a 35-plus-year relationship, so,
Yeah, well, but relationships do evolve.
But honestly, the fact that you see each other less is probably good, because you can easily just say to her, I see you so little now. I miss you. Let's just stick to our lives. We have so much to catch up on, and not fall into the trap of the political arguments, because I have to say this for everybody, and it's something I have to keep in my own mind so often, is this election stuff, this government stuff, throughout history, there have been governments. They change. They pass. We can only do what we can do. We can vote. We can get out and inform the people out there, but we have to be prudent about what we allow something that is temporary to do to our long-term relationships. Now, that doesn't mean not talking about our faith. We can pray with our friends, pray about their lives, talk about something we heard at church, talk about whatever it is faith-wise that we feel we need to talk about or that draws us together. But let's not spend all our emotional capital on a headline. Let's be very careful about not falling into that. And that means praying before all of our conversations. And because she's farther away, it can be very easy for you to be able to sidestep some of that. If she was like living in your neighborhood, you were having coffee every week, you were seeing each other all the time, that would be a little bit more difficult. But you can have much more intentional, personal conversations with her on the phone, over FaceTime, whatever that is. And that can actually make it easier in some ways.
Yeah, so I mean, I think that trying to ask yourself, you know, what else is there to this relationship and can we focus on that is probably the most important thing. You know, with regard to dealing with the specific issues here, I mean, I think that Lisa's sort of getting at something that I think is important, and this may or may not fly, but I think that when you're talking about these things with her first, saying, you know what, let's pray about it.
Yeah.
You know, and just right then and say, Lord, we just give that situation to you and we ask you to help us both respond to this issue the way you want us to so that we can build your kingdom. Amen. So what else is going on in your life? Right? You know, so I mean, you're not sidestepping the issue. You're not dealing with it. And if you're going to share anything, I would say, well, you know, I really stand with the church on this. This is what the church teaches. And I guess I'm wondering, you know, how do you reconcile your own thoughts with the fact that you say that, you know, you're Catholic and this is what the church teaches? You could ask that, you know, because what you're really talking about here is apologetics, right? And apologetics isn't about convincing somebody else to agree with us. It's just about presenting the case for why we think the way we do. And that's the best you can do. You can open the door and say, well, look, this is, come on in here if you like. And if they don't, that's fine. But you're presenting the argument for why the church teaches what it teaches and why you believe what you believe.
Now, the wonderful, glorious thing that God gives us when we do that, when we enter into an apologetics conversation, is he's actually giving us an invitation to get to know him better and get to know the teachings of the church better, because we don't want to go in, you know, not well versed in what the Catholic Church actually teaches. We do not want to be getting our source for Catholic apologetics from, you know, a reel or something on a secular news station that makes us think we know. He's saying, come deeper. Let me teach you why my Holy Church teaches this and what it really is. And that allows us to come from a place not of fear and defensiveness, but out of love for what Holy Mother Church actually teaches. So, and then we can share that in a loving way.
Sorry. So step back and really ask yourself, you know, what is there to this relationship? Yes, it's a 35-year relationship, but if the relationship isn't serving you as much anymore, it's okay to back off. And, you know, maybe not have quite as much contact. When you do have contact, try to make it about those things that really matter. You know, your relationship, the lives that you're leading, where God is calling you, what God is calling you to in your own lives. And then when these other, you know, political issues come up, as I said, you know, you can pray together about those things and that God would help you respond to them the way he wants you to respond to them. You can share what the church teaches on it and just ask her to reflect a little bit on how she reconciles her identity as a Catholic person with the fact that she disagrees with the church on this particular issue. And then leave that up to her. I would encourage you to resist analyzing her, though. I mean, I'm actually surprised that your reflection that, you know, she doesn't agree with the church because of her difficult relationship with her father landed as well as it did. Because most people would be pretty upset about that. So I mean, I don't think it's all that effective either. So just focus on, you know, presenting the case for the church and asking her to kind of reflect on the difference that she has between the way she's living and what she says she believes. We've got to go to break, but thank you so much for the call. And if there's more we can do to support you in this, don't hesitate to reach out to us here on More to Life. When we come back, in addition to taking more of your calls, we'll be joined by Rachel Watkins. She is the developer of the Little Flowers Girls Club and mom of 11. She's going to be sharing some more thoughts on loving those people that are hard to love. Stick around for that and a whole lot more when More to Life continues after the break.
Underwritten in part by the following nonprofit.
Do you feel as though life is flying past you? Are you desperate for a way to find moments of peace and quiet? Lord, teach me to pray. The free Ignatian Prayer Series will open your heart to his voice, to the peace you are seeking and the only love that fulfills the human heart, Jesus. God is calling you to true joy, knowing Jesus personally. Lord, Teach Me to Pray is free. Go to LordTeachMeToPray.com, click on the red box, order the Lord, Teach Me to Pray series now. Go to LordTeachMeToPray.com.
You like pizza? Me too. And for that, we can thank our friend Tom Monahan. First, he starts with $900 and opens one pizza shop. Then it's worldwide, thousands of shops. But all this was just a warm-up for his greatest achievement yet. He built a university.
God inspired Tom to build up generations of men and women who have a hunger to reach the world for Christ. This place is Ave Maria University.
Visit avemaria.edu to see what's next.
Hello, Steve Ray here from Footprints of God Pilgrimages. The land of our Lord and our Lady is calling us. We're heading back to the Holy Land over Christmas break this year. We have the best, most reliable guides and services awaiting us. The holy sites are open, and the local Christians are anxious to see us. Galilee, Jerusalem, Nazareth, Bethlehem. No crowds, no lines. Hope you can join us.
Find the Ave Maria Radio travel tab at avemariaradio.net.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically owned shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria mutual funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria mutual funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria mutual funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit avemariafunds.com.
Thank you for joining us today on More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and today's show is titled When Love is Hard. And we're talking about both difficult relationships and relationships with difficult people, which are kind of related ideas, but different in some ways. And whether you are in a difficult relationship or trying to get along with somebody that you find to be a difficult person, we are here for you today on More to Life. 877-573-7825. Joining us right now, Rachel Watkins. She is the developer of the Little Flowers Girls Club and mom of 11. Rachel, welcome to More to Life.
Thank you, Greg. Thanks, Lisa.
Now, Rachel, you are set up to have a lot of experience in this. Your husband, Matthew, comes from a large family. You come from a large family. And then together you had 11 kids. Now you also have in-laws and grandbabies involved. There's a lot of opportunity for people to get a little hard to love or be a little difficult in a relationship. What's your wisdom for us?
I think what we need to do is honestly admit that we have difficult relationships. Too oftentimes, we can sail through life and, oh, it's going to be fine, it's going to be fine, and it's not fine. You know, that you or a friend, like that 35-year-old relationship we just talked about, it's difficult. And the first thing you're going to turn to, as always, is turn to God. But I want us to really crack open our hearts and lament with God. The Psalms are full of David's laments. Lord, see me down in this pit. You know, say it to God out loud. We know he knows our hearts. We know that. But when we say it out loud, that helps us put it in right order. That helps the Holy Spirit to come into our hearts, kind of attend to us, to heal us where we are with this broken relationship with a child or a difficult marriage time. God wants to heal us and help us, and we have to turn to him to get that help.
We really do, and I love the fact that you're bringing up David here, because so many of us feel either, oh, well, God loves me, and he knows what I'm thinking, and I don't have to say it out loud, and we end up, you know, filling ourselves up with pride instead of the humility of actually coming to him with our words, and our words then unstopping our spiritual ears. But it matters. That time of humbling ourselves and talking to God really matters. And then once we begin to feel his presence, where do we go with that action afterwards?
It's the, Lord, what can I do? And of course you're going to pray for the situation. But is there something else? Do you need to share this maybe with an intimate group of people to surround yourself with prayer warriors? Maybe it is time for a conversation with someone. But I want to highlight that the length of the conversation is not what's important. You don't have to tease this out over hours and hours. You can just come to this person saying, I'm sad for how this is, you know, how we're feeling about each other right now. I'm sad the situation has divided us. I'd like to pray with you about it. You know, just like Greg said, just let's pray about it. And then maybe you're moving on and revisiting the conversation later. You want a conversation out of concern, not necessarily correction, because what we're working for, of course, is for the highest good. which is a relationship that reflects God's glory and his love.
Yeah, and we have to realize that. You know, we can't be arguing just over opinions or our own comfort zone. But if we really bring this to God, as you said, just the way David did in the Psalms, and we say, Lord, what is the highest good I'm working for here? How can I work for this person's good, my good, and any relationship that you want us to have together, and lead me and guide me through that? That is so important. And then we can take those steps, as you said, to really, in God's grace, try to move the relationship along in some way.
Rachel, thanks so much for being with us. Always appreciate your time. And if folks would like to learn more about Rachel's good work, you can go to beholdpublications.com. That's beholdpublications.com to learn more about the Little Flowers Girls Club. And with that, we are taking your calls at 877-573-7825. Again, the number, 877-573-7825. Do you have somebody that you find difficult to love? Or are you in a difficult relationship with someone you care about? You know, whether it's a family member, like Rachel was just talking about, one of your, say, adult kids, one of your in-laws, you know. Maybe it could even be somebody closer, your spouse, for instance, you know. The fact is, we can all be a little difficult sometimes, and sometimes that spills over into the entire relationship. So if you are in a difficult relationship with someone, or you care about somebody that you're finding hard to love, maybe the relationship is marked by conflict and tension, or the other person is treating you in a way that's hurtful, we want to help you find grace-filled ways to heal those difficult relationships and deal with those hard-to-love people in your life. Give us a call, 877-573-7825. More to Life will continue with your calls coming up right after the break.
Who is the source of all priesthood? Jesus Christ, the Catholic Catechism tells us. The priest of the old law was a figure of Christ, and the priest of the new law acts in the person of Christ. In the Mass, it is Christ himself who is present to his church as head of his body, shepherd of his flock, high priest of the redemptive sacrifice, and teacher of truth, says the Catechism. By virtue of the sacrament of holy orders, the priest acts in persona Christi. Christ is made visible in the community of believers through the ordained ministry. The bishop, in the words of Ignatius of Antioch, is like the living image of God the Father. This does not guarantee, however, that bishops are preserved from all human weakness, even sin. This is Peggy Stanton, and this has been the Order of Malta's Minute with the Catechism.
Christ is the answer, with Father John Ricardo.
I tell oftentimes an experience that I had at Divine Child when I was a young priest, 1 year ordained. First time I ever really saw the power of the Blessed Sacrament. And we simply exposed the Blessed Sacrament at the end of Mass one night. I encouraged people. I said, you know what, we've been in the habit of praying over people after Mass. I said, we're not going to do that this week. I'm just going to invite people to come on up and pray if they want to pray. And I put the Blessed Sacrament on the altar. I kneeled down. As I kneeled down, the church is in the sanctuary, the whole church. And as I'm looking at this, and I'm looking at the people there, and I'm looking at Jesus under the appearance of bread there, I saw the Lord standing on the altar. And he's just standing there looking out at all the people. And then at a certain point, he turned towards me, and he just bowed. And he says, don't you see how easy this is? You don't have to do anything. You just have to put me out. You put me out, and I will work.
Hi, I'm Lisa Popcheck. Take a moment to measure your stress level right now on a scale of 1 to 10. 1 or 2 means you're completely relaxed. 5 means you've got some concerns, but you're mostly feeling good. At 8, you're getting angry. And at 10, you're feeling and acting outraged. This little exercise is something happily married couples regularly do. They monitor their emotional temperature so they can take steps to lower it before it gets too high. You see, when your temperature gets higher than a 7, cortisol and adrenaline flood your body, shutting down the rational problem-solving part of your brain. And when that happens, your response is likely to make the situation worse, not better. Happily married couples recognize this and take responsibility for regulating their own emotional temperature. They don't blame their spouse for their poor reaction. They realize they're the only one who can control that. If you struggle with regulating your emotional temperature, take heart in the fact that police officers, firefighters, and others have learned to control their response in really stressful situations. And you can too. To learn how, check out our book, How to Heal Your Marriage and Nurture Lasting Love. Or, if you want more personalized, faith-filled help, visit CatholicCounselors.com.
Welcome back, folks. You're listening to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
I'm Lisa Popchak.
And today's show is titled, When Love is Hard. Whether you're dealing with a difficult relationship or somebody who you find difficult to love, we're here to help. 877-573-7825.
Let's talk right now with David, who's listening to EWTN Radio in California.
David, welcome to More to Life. How can we help?
Yes, I have my youngest son. Over the last couple of years, and we've had an on and off relationship. And about a year ago, he just kind of totally broke from the family. Over hurts, real and imagined. And my last communication with him was a letter. And I wrote him saying that I love him and the family loves him and we're here for him. We'll always be here for him. If he ever wants to reconnect, I'll be his wingman and help him reconnect with his brothers and sisters. And that, you know, that's kind of it. I don't know what else to say. Well, it's been about a year, and I do send them cards, and they have a child, and I send them gifts, but there's no communication at all. I realize I've gone through about a year of bereavement. And I just, I feel like I there's something else that I could do. I can't force his hand. I worry that whatever, you know, letter I send him, that he will take exception to it.
Mm-hmm. Do you have a relationship with your daughter-in-law?
No.
You tell me a little bit about what was the issue that made him just cut you all off?
He had some confidences broke within the family, and honestly, he's been through a couple of very sad situations that I feel that he may have PTSD, and this is just his way of coping. It's not a great way, but
yeah.
It's like
I'm curious. So, because he's not estranged just from you. You said he's estranged from the siblings, but really the whole family. Does he feel more sympathetically toward anybody in the family than others, or is he just kind of written you all off?
No, it's a whole ball of wax, even though not everybody was involved with his hurts.
What was your role in it?
A whole ball of wax.
I'm just trying to understand the way forward. So what would you say your role was in it?
Well, I was one of the people that broke the confidence. It was accidental, but I did, and I thought we had dealt with it. You know, I apologized and did all that, and but then it just got complicated from there. Anybody said in the family, he took the wrong way.
I understand.
You know? I just have to ask, and I'm assuming the answer is no, but have you ever offered to do therapy with him, family therapy together, so that he's not just the only one dealing with this pain, but there's somebody there to help you walk through towards solutions for this?
In the past, because of some of the things that he's gone through, I've helped him get therapy.
But have you participated in it?
Not directly.
Okay.
All right, so a couple of thoughts.
Okay.
No, no. Okay, well, so just a couple of thoughts. You have no communication with him. No,
at this
understand.
Point, yeah.
He doesn't write back, but he hasn't. He also hasn't, you know, said don't ever text me again or don't ever send me a letter, right? So as long as that's the case, you still have some open doors. And I would say two things. First, I would keep up the communication with him. You know, I would keep in the sense of you reaching out to him. You know, the cards, the notes, the text. I would keep it up regularly, you know, just a weekly report of, hey, you know, this is what's going on in the family. I just wanted you to know that I was still thinking about you and wanted to share these things. And I love you. And I hope that things are going well with you. I'm praying for you. And I just want you, you know, and I want you to know that if there's anything, if you're ever in it, I respect the fact that you don't, you know, don't feel comfortable dealing with us right now. But, you know, if there's ever a time when you would like to reconnect, I want you to know that I'm willing to hear whatever it is that you have to say. I work through whatever it is that we need to work through to have a better relationship, and I hope that things are going well for you. But and you can just keep, you know, repeating that, you know, and you put that at the end of each of your texts and or at the end of the card or the letter that you send. But you're keeping up the relationship by sharing regular updates on what's going on in your life, what's going on in the family's life, letting him know that you're thinking and praying for him, and, you know, saying, while I respect, you know, your need to step away from the family, you know, at some point, if you're ready to deal with us, I want you to know that I'm ready to hear whatever it is that you have to say and work through whatever we need to work through. If he does reach back out at any point, you know, you might suggest what Lisa proposed here, the idea of, you know, working with somebody who can be a third party to help you put things back together and make sure that, you know, you're rebuilding the relationship in a mindful, intentional manner instead of just sort of trying to step around the landmines. So I would say that for now, and this goes for any listener who's in a similar position, you know, if assuming that your child hasn't specifically forbidden you to reach out to them, I would encourage you to keep up that relationship as best you can with those little regular texts, updates. In fact, you know, in some ways, you need to do it more. Right, because you want to show that you haven't written them off, that you love them, you're going to keep them updated with what's going on, you respect their boundary, you're not pressuring them to have a relationship with you, you're kind of overtly stating that I get it, you need some time away, that's fine, I just want to keep you posted on what's going on and let you know that if at some point you are ready to deal with any of us, I'm here for you and we're happy to hear, we are willing to hear whatever it is that you have to say. And just really keeping that connection, at least. We do talk more about this in our book, Having Meaningful, Sometimes Difficult Conversation with Our Adult Sons and Daughters. It's really about how do you heal those relationships with adult kids? How do you communicate with adult kids in ways that opens their hearts to what you might have to say, even if you guys disagree with each other? And how to begin to heal some of those old wounds that cause these kinds of estrangements. So I would really encourage you, David, as a follow-up to this call, to check out that book, Having Meaningful, Sometimes Difficult Conversations with Our Adult Sons and Daughters. And you can also, if you would like more personalized support, reach out to us at CatholicCounselors.com.
And I would say, don't necessarily wait till, you know, you can say to him, hey, I'm willing to go to counseling with you. You're carrying a really heavy heartbreak here, David. You're feeling guilty about some of it. You're feeling heartbroken about, you know, having this distance between you. And I would really encourage you to get good pastoral counseling on this, because on top of the fact that it would help give you clarity of a way forward and heal some of this, you'd also be able to say to him at some point, after you've been doing what Greg is saying here and sending just these newsy texts or cards, to be able to say to him, I just want to let you know that I've been going to counseling for a while now, and I'm seeing a real change in my perspective on this, and I just wanted to let you know that I've taken, you know, I've taken all of your concerns into account. I'm really working on my own self here, and if you'd ever like to join me for any of this so that we can work on healing this together, I'm completely open to that. But doing that step, and then down the road, when you've stuck with it for a while, letting him know that you've taken that step because you've taken his concerns seriously can really go a very long way. And in the meantime, while you're working on it, you're getting a new perspective. You're getting some healing. You're allowing God's grace into the situation. You're working with a pastoral counselor that can kind of work through those weekly or you know, semi-weekly notes that you're sending out. It could be a great step forward, David.
Yeah, just make sure that whatever you do, you're not coming across like you're trying to pressure him into having a relationship.
Right.
That, you know, that you're overtly saying, you know, I totally respect if you're not in a place where you're ready to deal with us, but I just want you to know the door is always open, and this is really important. And if you did ever want to talk with us, I want you to know that I'm more than willing to hear whatever it is that you have to say. All right. Thank you so much, David, for the call. We certainly added your family to our More to Life prayer list. If there's more we can do to support you, don't hesitate to reach back out to us here. The book, Having Meaningful, Sometimes Difficult Conversations with Our Adult Sons and Daughters, is available as a follow-up, and you can pick that up at CatholicCounselors.com or wherever books are sold. If you'd like that more personalized assistance, I'd really encourage you to reach out to us at CatholicCounselors.com as well. 877-573-7825. Today's show is titled When Love is Hard. And we're talking about both difficult relationships and your relationships with people that you find to be difficult to love for whatever reason. Give us a call. Let's find those next steps toward healing. 877-573-7825. And as we head out to our break, it's time for our scripture of the day, which comes to us from Ephesians chapter 4, verse 15.
Speak the truth in love, that you would become in every way more like Christ, who is our head.
So this verse really supports what we've been talking about in terms of avoiding those two temptations in difficult relationships. The first one being letting that person or relationship bring out the worst in us. The second one being not saying or doing things that we should say or do because we're afraid of upsetting the apple cart even further. You know, what St. Paul is really talking about here is putting love at the head of things. You know, we're always working for the good of each other and the relationship. Whatever we say, whatever we do, we genuinely and prayerfully believe that it is the thing that's going to help bring out the best in the other person and make the relationship healthier and holier. And we can't drag that person kicking and screaming to that better relationship, but we can hold the door open and say, you know, this is the way to that better relationship. And that's what St. Paul's really talking about here, speaking the truth in love that would allow us to become more like Christ and invite everybody to be in relationship with us in a healthy way, in a holy way, just as Christ does. Well, what does that mean in your situation? Let's talk it out. 877-573-7825. More to Life will continue with your calls coming up right after the break.
You like pizza? Me too. And for that, we can thank our friend, Tom Monahan. First, he starts with $900 and opens one pizza shop. Then it's worldwide, thousands of shops. But all this was just a warm-up for his greatest achievement yet. He built a university.
God inspired Tom to build up generations of men and women who have a hunger to reach the world for Christ. This place is Ave Maria University.
Visit avemaria.edu to see what's next.
He is only one of four popes honored as the great.
Matthew Bunsen and the Doctors of the Church.
St. Leo I was pope at a time when Roman civilization was being overrun by barbarian armies. He stood as a light in the darkness and even saved the city of Rome from destruction by Attila and the Huns. Leo died in 461.
For more about the Doctors of the Church, visit doctorsofthechurch.com.
Strained or broken relationships are a given in most of our lives. Friends fall away, siblings drift apart, children sever ties with their parents, and despite our best efforts, these painful fissures are difficult to mend. Hi, I'm Dr. Ray. If you want to learn how to communicate better with the difficult people in your life and be a more easygoing, more forgiving person, check out my book, How to Get Along with Almost Everybody. Check it out. And all my other books on the store page at AveMariaRadio.net. That's AveMariaRadio.net.
When the need for senior care arises, home is where the heart is. Visiting Angels provides home care for mom or dad up to 24 hours per day, including personal care, meals, and light housework. You may select your professional caregiver with Visiting Angels. More information at visitingangels.com or at 877-374-LIVE. That's 877-374-LIVE. Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care.
Want more tips for living a more joyful, abundant life through the gift of the theology of the body?
Well, and follow us on Facebook at More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa, and on Twitter and Instagram at Catholic Counselors. We'll see you there.
Welcome back to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and today on More to Life, when love is hard. Whether you're in a difficult relationship or dealing with somebody who's a little hard to love, we want to help you find those next steps toward healing. 877-573-7825.
Before we go to our next caller, we want to let you know that one of our great EWTN partners needs your help. Next week, Catholic Spirit Radio with 12 stations serving central and northern Illinois, plus Whitewater, Wisconsin, will be kicking off their fall fund drive appeal on Wednesday.
Their theme is miracles, so please support them and your local Catholic radio station. Wherever you're tuning in to EWTN Catholic Radio, make sure you're supporting that local EWTN Catholic radio station with your prayers, but with your dollars as well. Let's keep EWTN going strong for decades to come so we can keep supporting you and your loved ones in living a more faithful, joyful, and abundant life.
Let's talk now with Maria, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Virginia on the Guadalupe Radio Network.
Hi, Maria. Welcome to More to Life. How can we help you out?
Hi, and thank you for taking my call. I would like some advice to deal with a broken relationship just recently. And full disclaimer, I don't want to say anything bad about, you know, this person. I'm very grateful and for her support in every
and,
way.
And what's your relationship with her? Is this a friend, a family member? Who is
my mother-in-law?
Okay,
mother-in-law. Gotcha.
Okay, and it was good for a while, but now something's gone awry. What's going on?
So she lives in a different country, and so she comes and her children live in different countries. My husband and my sister-in-law live here, and her other child lives in a different country, and a fourth sibling in a different country. So
that's really hard.
And, and stays for a, you know, extended period of time, trying to help in everything she can. You know, she really cooks, cleans, sees what's going on with the garden, and you know, she is very, very, very helpful. And in the past, I was working, so I as always, I was very grateful, but I didn't have to spend very much time with her. So I would do whatever she wanted me to do for the time I was home, and you know, and try to be in my best behavior, if you will, because I you cannot help yourself to feel judged when it's your mother-in-law, right? You want her to feel comfortable and welcome, and you know. And
sure.
I recently moved to Virginia, and because my husband was relocated, and I quit my job to follow my husband, and so there's so much to do in the house. We recently moved 3 months ago, and so she came and helped and stayed, you know, and we shared a lot of time together, and then she left, and I was like, okay, you know, just greeting, you know, again, and everything went well. And then, I don't know, a few weeks passed, and she had to come back. So I had not fully recovered from the last.
So what is it though that's getting under your skin? Because I want to make sure that we're able to give you some specific advice on how is it that she's behaving that's making her difficult to deal with?
Well, she has very strong opinions about everything, and especially the role of the mother in the family. And I'm Hispanic, so you know, and we live in the U.S., so everything is different here. And when I'm with her, she's like, "Oh, I used to do this and I used to do that," and it doesn't apply right now for this reality. But I listen and I take, you know, her advice to my heart and say, thank you, you know. But the last time we had a good conversation, because we're having a lot of conversations, we spend a lot of time together. My husband travels, works, and we both stay in the house. And so the last conversation, I thought it was a breakthrough. I think she may have misinterpreted, and my husband left on a business trip, and when I came back from the airport, she had all her belongings outside in the garage. She asked her my sister-in-law to pick her up, and she left very dramatically. And it was, you know, resented. You know, you could tell at the beginning. I had no idea because when my husband was here.
So where does the relationship start? And I'm just going to interrupt because we've only got about 4 minutes before they play us out of here, and I want to make sure I can give you something before we go. So where does the relationship stand now? And how can we help?
She's living in my sister-in-law's house right now. Her birthday is tomorrow, and she's leaving the country on Sunday. Saturday her birthday. Sunday she's leaving. She left my house feeling, you know, upset with me. And now I don't know what to do to...
Well, I would say that really you don't have to do anything because, I mean, there's a healthy way to deal with being upset and an unhealthy way of dealing with being upset.
And that doesn't matter what culture you're from. That is just the truth.
Yeah. So, you know, if she had a problem with you, there's no reason she couldn't just come to you and say, you know, hey, Maria, I was really hurt by this thing that you said or frustrated with this thing that you did. Can we work that out? And instead, you know, she left in a huff without talking about any of her concerns or addressing any of her issues. And so, you know, you don't have to elicit that from her, right? I mean, you can go and go to the birthday and just pretend like nothing happened, honestly, because nothing did happen, in a sense. I mean, like, she didn't come to you and say that you had a problem. You know, she just left. And, you know, you could say, hey, you know, you're always welcome in our home or whatever, but you don't have to bring this back up. It's really on the person who is having the feelings to deal with those feelings appropriately. If you want, I mean, you could say at some point, hey, you know, you seem like you were upset. I'm always happy to talk about it. If there's something you want to say or need to get off your chest, you can extend that invitation if you like. But it's not your job to twist yourself into knots, to figure out what went wrong and what you can do to fix it and how you can convince her to not be upset. It's really 95% her responsibility to come to you and say, well, look, this is what bothered me and I'd really like to work this out. So again, I think that your responsibility extends maybe as far as saying, gosh, I'm really sorry that you seem upset. I don't know what it's about. If you'd ever like to talk about it, I'm here for you. But then move on. You know, don't make this your job to fix it all. And as hard as that is, I realize that it's easy for me to say. It's another thing to actually live it out. Like you said, you feel guilty because it's your mother-in-law and you want to have a good relationship. But when somebody's behaving in an unhealthy or inappropriate way, you know, twisting yourself into knots to accommodate them actually rewards that unhealthy and unholy behavior.
Yeah, it does. And I understand she's the matriarch of the family. You've got a lot of eyes on you. I understand all of the emotional stuff you're going through on this. But matriarch or no, if you reward this kind of drama where she expects everyone to twist themselves into pretzels to make her happy, to appease her, to make, you know, to say, oh, Mama, what's wrong? How can we fix it? That is not healthy for her or the relationship in any way, shape, or form.
Again, all we can do is, at the most, is extend an invitation to say, you know, I see that you're upset about something, or I see that you left not in the best way. If there's anything that we need to talk about, I'm happy to hear it, whatever it might be, but I'll leave that up to you. And then you move on. Because doing anything more than that ends up really encouraging that unhealthy and you know, destructive behavior. And we want to invite people to be healthier with us and to exhibit the virtues that we all need to exhibit to have better relationships. So by all means, let her know that you're open to hearing whatever it is she has to say when she would care to say it. But otherwise, let it go, and I would honestly pretend that nothing happened. Because either that will send her the message that, you know, that she needs to come to you and deal with this in a direct way, or it will help her space to just realize that, well, you know, I overreacted and I need to let it go. But you trying to elicit more from her is just going to create more drama and problems for everybody. So I appreciate the difficult position that this puts you in, but I think this is really the best way forward. And we talk about this more in my book, God Help Me, These People Are Driving Me Nuts, Making Peace with Difficult People. It's really a book about boundaries and how we can set boundaries that allow us to open the door, close the door to unhealthy behavior, but open the door to healthier relationships moving forward. Again, that's God Help Me. These people are driving me nuts, making peace with difficult people. Thanks for the call, Maria. And listeners, thank you for tuning in. If there is a relationship that you are having a hard time with, a difficult relationship, or you're in a relationship with somebody who's difficult to love, and you're looking for more personalized, faith-filled guidance, reach out to us at CatholicCounselors.com. We'll hook you up with a faithful, professional Catholic counselor to help you transform your marriage, family, and personal life in the light of God's grace. That's CatholicCounselors.com. Thanks for tuning in. Until next time, remember that with God's grace, there is so much more to life. Have a blessed day.
More to Life is a co-production of CatholicCounselors.com, Ave Maria Radio, and EWTN Radio, and is carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. For copies and downloads of this program, and for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net.